Good afternoon. This is Nina, and we are here gathered for the 29th episode of the Audible Weed Walk. The other day, while walking along with some 13, 14 years old school students exploring the wild uncultivated greens, they had noticed the butterfly tree, the Cecilpinia coriaria. It is better known here as the butterfly tree because it seems it works like a butterfly magnet. Really, it becomes like a magical to sit under one and observe them. But I was telling the students at that time how weeds are hugely attractive to the pollinators, and as they come to the weeds, they also visit the plants we cultivate. You know, I do bioenzyme too. There, you provide sugar to attract the bacteria. They come for the jaggery, and while they are there, they also get into the citrus peel or what have you to offer in the same container. It is exactly something like that. You have yummy weeds, bees and butterflies comes, have a fill, and then they check out something else. What else is available? As if to prove the point, a few butterflies glided in. We were right next to the butterfly tree. True, it is not its prime flowering season, but there were a few scattered flowers in that tree. But the butterfly landed straight on to one of the weeds near the ground. Then the next, then the next. As the morning sun got stronger, more and more butterflies, as if surfing over the ground to glide over the weedy flowers and get their fill. It is simply gorgeous. At last, we are in the prime green season. Summer is almost summer in most of India, including here, is the time for the fragrant night blooming flowers and the juicy tropical fruits. Winters and springtimes are for the eye-catching colorful blooms and healthy dose of veggies and greens. The weedy world reflects that. They are flowering now, completing their cycle in the last stages of the vegetative growth before producing flowers, attracting pollinators, and producing seeds for the next cycle to begin. This is the best time for the weed walks. If you have, if you want to get initiated, I would suggest to come for one from this week, Saturday, 13th February to 27th March. I will offer a weed walk each Saturday morning, each week at a different place, each one opportunity to encounter a new one and learn about them or a new way of using the same one that you always knew. But to join the walk, you need to find the announcement in the news and notes, or on it, social media, and register first, because we take only 10. So as to not to compact the soil around where the weed grows. We have to be careful, right? Talking about the chance to learn something new, only recently I have found out something new about Shatavari or Asparagus racemosus, which occur in this area in profusion, and it is highly medicinal, as you know. It is medicinal, but not edible, I thought. But apparently, the very young leaves of these plants can be plucked and eaten raw in breakfast porridge or cereal. Good for everyone, but especially for women. Better not to have it every day, but once in a while, it's great. Weeding does that. Something you get to know that are new to you, and then you look anew, something that is already known, and your appreciation deepens. I had a similar kind of encounter with Musumusukai or Mukia Madaraspatana. Deepa Reddy, an awesome culinary artist and a cultural anthropologist I had mentioned, I think only last week, had sent me some photos of food that she had made incorporating the leaves of some of the weeds that are in my book. I muse that I do not get to see Musumusukai much around anymore, even though it is in the book. It is definitely available in the area. As that, on that week, As I went to botanical gardens, where I teach biodiversity and land stewardship, in this short 4-month course, Musumusukai must have been in my mind. Because just where I leave my footwear to get into the classroom, I found a healthy plant swaying in the breeze as if waving at me. From then on, I see, often in different places, the same plant. I mean, not the same plant. I mean, Musumusukai. I guess to see something, one has to have the attention, and sometimes having it in the consciousness also helps. Then I looked anew a plant growing in my yard. This time, a little more than usual, I had prepared the soil for planting some summer veggies. I thought the plants that were growing naturally were ponnangani. Hugging the ground, they were growing, but in the soil that is drier than I would expect ponnangani to grow. They were clearly not its ubiquitous cousin, Alternanthera ficoidae, or the slender joyweed. Why have I not noticed this before? I do not know. Apparently, they are not that common, but not rare either. It is a more hairy sort of and more gnarly, typical of a plant that survives in a bit of rough condition, a cousin of Munnangani. Yes, it turned out to be a new Alternanthera. I have 3 of them in my coloring book and do mention the several variations in them that one encounters. But this is the 4th one. Wow, and growing right under my nose. And I picked a handful and added to a brothy soup I made with vallarai or Central Asiatica, a few Musumusukai, which I just had mentioned, Mukia madaris patana, seeds of some local beans, and amla, emblica, and a few peppercorn. Just like rasam, but not very spicy. And topped it with avarampu, the yellow flowers of Senna auriculata. A perfectly lovely warm soup with a touch of agni or fire in it. That is the right for the season. Have a look. I have included a picture with this podcast. I actually chanced upon a field trip along with the French Institute's POLIN team. POLIN is an acronym for a longer name, but I am really not very good with acronyms. I just can describe you what the study is about. It is a new study for the protection of pollinators and agroecological transition in the Pondicherry bioregion. That is where we are. As part of their field trip, last Friday, I got to visit several urban, semi-urban, rural farms of various sizes and stages. One was close to us in Quillapalyam. As part of the study, a stingless bee box was placed, and Trigona bees had happily made their home in the box. Because the bees were in the box, I could see the entire colony of some awesome work in action. Very unlike a honeycomb, here a section was for the pollen pots. The other end was the honey pots, and in between, a covalent bond looking something, you know, looking like out of a science model, were cases of larvae. There too, one could make a difference between the worker, which were the smaller, and slightly larger ones. There was some red and brown resinous substance collected by the honeybees from the tree buds, used by them to fill the crevices and to fix and varnish the honeycombs. It is called propolis, and you can actually see that. I've included a picture. Wow. Have a look. It's glorious. I realized every day in my garden, I consider cleaning a wash basin that is set outside. That basin gets full with fallen flowers, leaves, and I notice the outlet in the basin, which is a hole just below the tap, is clogged with the same kind of stuff. And something flies in and out, and I thought they were stingless bees. And they were. But what I see in the clogged outlet where the petrified debris is the gateway to this wonderful kingdom inside that I didn't know about. Then we visited this semi-urban farm. It is only about 15 cents size-wise, which is quite really small, like a small plot of land, like a residential plot of land, that even with some previous construction debris piled up along its entire one side. There, in that tiny farm, at the end of the day, when we stepped out of the vehicle, I started seeing weedy wild greens filled with goodness that we should be eating in this season. Cleome gynandra, for example, known in the area as velakire, good for this season to resist coughs and cold. And then, of course, there were musumusukai and punarnabha, scientific name is Boheria diffusa. There were mantakali or black nightshade. There were mudakatan kirei or balloon vine. Excellent for joints. And honestly, in this construction dump, I could find perhaps 20 to 30 species like that. Some are in the book and some are supposed to be part of the new book, which are part of the edible weed series. If we ever get there and raise enough funds, you will have it. By the way, this pollen project, just started by the French Institute, have started doing a reconnaissance survey of the farm. Farm, food forest, gardens, and other green spaces in the bioregion. The trip in which I tagged along was part of that. Edible weed as a magnet for pollinators will be a boon in the farms. It will be a win-win situation because farmers need not divert any energy and resources to grow the weeds. They do, however, need knowledge and understanding not to weed them out. Pollen, the project plans to get a baseline data on the plant pollinator network in the region via several vegetation surveys and study of the plant phenology. If this is the first time you encounter the term phenology, it refers to, here is the formal definition. The study of timing of recurring biological events, the causes of their timing with regard to the biotic and abiotic forces, and interrelation among phases of the same or different species. Like then, the deciduous plants shed their leaves and the color and the cooler months, there is a time and a phase for it. The study of that will be phenology. Anyway, obviously, documenting edible weeds, their floral characteristics and pollinators who visits them by the direct observation or the study of the pollens, etc., is an important dimension that will be definitely strengthen the citizen science aspect of the project and beyond. So I was happy for my chance to see the different experiment that was going on, the honeybees and the stingless bee boxes or pots that were set up and planted in some of the areas in this bioregion. It's amazing works, and it's getting done by the people, young people, research institutes, enthusiasts, bees, butterflies, and of course, weeds, right at the center without catching the limelight. With that, I will end here and I'll see you next week. Until then, stay well and stay safe.
This is Oroville Radio.